I trust that the Holy Spirit has touched you already and that God is busy at work in your life and that you will never be the same again. Amen. Come on, we wanna walk in that victory that Jesus has bought for us on the cross. Not in slavery. You're no longer a slave. You have been set free. Amen. So, I want to invite you into family and may God use you powerfully even as He sends you out. So this morning I actually want to sort of hook on or tag on what I preached last Sunday. Last Sunday I preached about a secure future. And in short, the fact that our future is not a gamble. Our future is secure. It's locked up. God's got it in His hands. And there's nothing that can hinder us from actually walking. And this morning, I sort of want to hook onto that with a sermon topic, unlocking your future. Now, before I get into this, who of you love getting gifts? Confess. All right. Now, what's the thing about getting a gift? It's definitely free, especially if it's a nice big one. And you know, it's like, yeah, it's funny now, if children, especially at Christmas time, they're not bothered with a small thing. They go for the biggest box because it must have the most awesome gift in. And as you get older, I find that the boxes get smaller. But the price tag inside is different. It gets crazy. But here's the thing about a gift, you know, when you receive a gift, you actually have no clue what is in there. Nah? The wrapping can be nice, even the message on it can be nice, and you look at that gift and you go like, wow, it's awesome wrapping. None of you do that. No, when you get the gift, most of us, except my wife, goes into full destruction mode because there's a wrapping between me and whatever is in that thing. It has to be removed. So, you know, Lorette will take it, and it's painful to watch at least. In the first, the one piece of sellotape, slowly, must not tear. It's crucial. Very slowly, and then she sticks it this side, and then she tackles the other one, and she slowly... You get the picture. Me and my boys, full psycho, we get to the business. We want to see what is in there. She can never reuse the wrapping paper when we're done with it. Okay. But in order to get what is in a gift, you have to unwrap it. In a sense, I feel like, you know, this year and our future that God has for us at the beginning of this year is like a gift that He is presenting to us. We do not know what is in it, but we must start unwrapping it. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're a bit scared to unwrap that thing because the previous two unwrappings has been a bit not so nice. Okay? You unwrapped it with great enthusiasm. All everybody unwrapped 2020 with great enthusiasm, and then 2020 had some stuff in that we did not plan on. You know, and then we went to 2021 and we thought, yeah, it must be a better one. You know, the box is bigger. This must be a better one. And we unwrapped it and it was better, but it was still interesting. And now maybe you find yourself in the space where you go like, yo, 2022, I'm not so sure. You know, maybe you go Lorette's route now. You know, you're scared it's one of those clown things that pop out and then... And then everything goes pear-shaped. I don't know what your expectation is, but I do want to say in Christ, we have a secure future. Amen. And before I get into this, I must say as a disclaimer, the only way that you can truly unlock your future is in intimate, passionate relationship with the one that has made you. He knows what your future is. You know, let's maybe look at 2020 and we say, you know, there was the valley of the shadow of death. A lot of people died. It was a terrible year. You know, a lot of people that are sitting here were impacted by those deaths. It was not a nice year. Doesn't make The fact that God is leading us to that table, where we're sitting around the table, and it says in Psalms 23 that our enemies are watching how we are eating. So he's on this journey with us to this incredible space and place, because he is still the good shepherd. So are you scared of the future? Good to hear. You know, are you a bit uncertain over what this future holds for you? Are you a bit like, maybe I'm going to unwrap this slowly this year? Sharon has ripped it off. Good luck, Chris. So we need to unlock this future that God has for us. And a part of it that was in what I said last week, and I just want to go through them quickly again. The eight things that we see in Psalms 37 that David says, do these things. And the first one that he said was, do not fret. Do not fret. Do not be in this place of you that you are anxious and so on. And then the next one, he says, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Resist. Rest in the Lord. Cease from anger. Depart from evil. And wait on the Lord and keep his way. That is sort of the first clue. If you want to unwrap your year, if you want to wrap your future, if you want to walk into the secure future that God has for us, then do these things. Like I said last week, the first one is, do not fret. Any place of anxiety or fear, if you are finding yourself there, then get rid of that. Because fear and stuff will keep you from walking into the promises of God. So do not fret. And then you do the other lot. And there's that place where you have to willingly put your trust in God despite your circumstances. Because sometimes we allow our circumstances to dictate our future for us. And that is not the case. And when I delight myself, when I sit with him and he becomes my good pleasure, things change. So this morning, I just want to share a few other things. And you can go listen to last week's sermon. It's on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. Can you believe it? We have a YouTube channel. But you can go and watch it there and maybe understand more where this one is coming in. But the first thing that, or one of the scriptures that I read there was Jeremiah 29:11, a scripture that we all love. They all quote so often. But the first thing that I need to do in this journey of unwrapping my future is that I need to recognize him who holds the future. Okay, Jeremiah 29:11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you. So God knows. He knows the plans he has for you. See, if you want to know what the plans are, then ask the one that knows. Okay? If I want to know what's wrong with my PC, I do not take a hammer and execute plumbing rituals on it to find out what's wrong with it. I take it to someone that knows. And if I don't know if you've ever watched a computer guy that rips a PC apart, it's quite, I'm like, dude, how are you going to get that together again? But he knows. Okay, so here's what God says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil. So glad God is planning evil for us. No, he's planning welfare for us, good things, okay, to give you a future and a hope. So God wants to give us a future and a hope. Now, the first thing that we need to do is recognize him who holds this future. We see in Psalms 31 verse 14 to 15 in the NLT version, it says this, I am trusting you, O Lord, saying, you are my God. Comes back to that trust of last week. You are my God. My future is in your hands. So what is the psalmist saying here? I'm placing my full trust in you. I'm recognizing that you have my future in your hands. He's got it. It's secure. But I have to recognize that my future is not in my hands. It's in his. My future is not in the promotion that I'm hoping for, or the job change, or the moving to another country, or whatever. It's not there. It's in His hands. Look, and if He leads you to those places, then you are walking in His plan. But I have to recognize that my future is not in my hands. You know, maybe we are so quick to execute our plans for our lives. Because here's the thing, we can often think about what we want to do. Psalm 16 verse 5 in the GNT version says this, "You, Lord, are all I have, and You give me all I need." Love it. My future is in Your hands. "You, Lord, are all I have." Is God all you have? Or do you have other options? Do you have another way out? Or is He all you have? "You give me all I need." Why? Because my future is in Your hands. You see, He is El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. For Him, nothing is impossible. For Him, our future is known. He's not confused about what's going to happen in your life. Maybe even the hardships that you're going to face. The reality is, even through that, He walks with you. He's still your shepherd, even in that situation. You see, we will always doubt the future until we recognize the author of life. We will always doubt the future until we say and understand and know that my future is in His hands. Until I place my full and complete trust in Him. And listen, there's a scary place probably for some people in saying, "Lord, I am sort of just waiting for You." Now, obviously, like I said last week, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. God can't steer a ship in the standing still or in a harbor. The thing needs to move. So we move by faith. All right, but we're going to get there. If I read the New Testament and I see how the disciples were persecuted, murdered, driven out of their homes and everything, what do you think they thought of the future at that point? I mean, they just followed this prophet now for how many years? 3 years. And now it's going pear-shaped. Everything is falling apart. They're getting killed. People they know. It's being thrown to the lions and stuff. It's chaos. What do you think they thought of the future? They had a hope. And we see it in the Bible how they write about this hope. This thing that God has given us. This hope that is not in this world, but it's with God. That they knew that God has their future. And they were willing to give their lives for that. To give their lives for Jesus who died for them. They were willing to be hung upside down, to be thrown to lions, to be murdered, to be persecuted, all the rest of it. Why? Because they had a hope. So this, our future is secure, regardless of what happens. So the next thing that I felt that in to unlock your future, and we spoke about it briefly last week, was to wait on the Lord. And I always say, the biggest problem for me with wait on the Lord is the wait. Because, you know, Scripture says His ways are not my ways. And then sometimes I find that He takes longer than what I want Him to take. And I get impatient. And I'm going, "Lord, it is time. The schedule says it's time. My plan says it is time for You to move now." You know, the overdue slip says it's time. My landlord says it's time. You know, the bank says you should pay, buddy. Whatever you are facing, it is time. But wait on the Lord. And I tell you, I've mentioned a few things, and we've been through a few things where despite the fact that I need to pay my rent, that God comes through even when the due date was gone. And it freaks me out, but then the landlord is still happy. I don't know how that works. But you know, see, when God moves. But here's the thing, wait upon the Lord. Psalm 37:9, and that's what we looked at last week. But those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the land. When you wait on the Lord for Him to move, you inherit the land. You possess what He has for you. Isaiah 40:31 says this, yet the strength of those who wait on with hope in the Lord will be renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and they won't become weary. They will walk and they won't grow tired. You see, the result of waiting for the Lord is this, waiting on Him. Is that I will get to a space where I can run and not get weary. You know, maybe God is causing you to wait because you've been running like a mad thing and you've gone so far ahead of Him that you just have to wait. He has to catch up now, metaphorically speaking. You see, sometimes we just need to wait upon Him and allow Him to be God in our lives. See, because why? He has my future. He knows the plans that He has for me. And I just need to slow down. Yeah, but you know, it's always, so often in the waiting, where I get a different revelation or understanding even of who He is and how my God operates and what He does. And it's in the waiting where so often I see His magnificent power being displayed in my life. Where I can truly look back and say, but I didn't bring that to pass, He did. And all I did was wait. And can I tell you a secret? My Father, your Father, wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. He wants to flex, to use my son's language. He wants to show you His power. He wants to demonstrate. Because in demonstrating His power in your life, what happens? Those that are around you have to go, whoa. Wow, look at what your God is doing. And it becomes testimonies which we can share with those around us. It becomes that memorials in our lives which we can look at and go, look, God, what have you done? It is amazing. That song that I shared on the broadcast, on our church group, you know, that was the thing for me. Look what you have done, Lord. I have to pause and look what you have done in my life, how you saved me, how you digging up my roots and you sorting out stuff. Look what you have done. You have saved me. And that is enough. If you do nothing more, that is enough. Then the next thing that I believe you need to do in unlocking your future is this. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brothers and sisters sitting here this morning, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself. And in the power of His might, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can I just remind us that there is a devil? There is an enemy of our souls. He walks around, Scripture says, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, wanting to destroy and kill us. Are we surprised when he tries it? We like, normally we go like, Lord, what are you doing? Can we just deal with the one who's busy in our lives? Can we deal with the wiles of the devil in our lives? Can we put on the armor? Can we be strong in the Lord in the power of His might and recognize when the devil is coming our way? And gaan, Nee, chommy. Well, it's not chommy, chommy. But in the name of Jesus, devil, enough. You will not harass me anymore. You will not do this in my life. And if you have to get the saints with you to stand with you and pray, then that's what you do. Okay? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Normally, we are at war with flesh and blood. Normally, it's, you know, our co-workers, our boss, our family, you know, friends, whatever. It's them. Have you considered maybe it's the devil that's using them to get to you? Why? Because you just read that scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And now you're proclaiming that and you're walking in, and then the first guy goes, hey. And we go like, the reality is God, you know, when we walk in that joy, the devil don't want you to be happy. So he sends an agent to sort you out. I'm making this light, but that is the truth. And then we sometimes go like, God, why is my life so miserable? And he says, but I've given you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Can you please walk in it? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and against the world's rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the first thing that you need to do is stand. Because running away is not what we do. As Christians, we are called to stand. And having done all, to stand. I don't read running away in that sentence. You see, because if I read the armor, my armor that I have on is for frontal assault. I don't read in that scripture that there's a shield at my back. Well, he's got my back. But don't run away. Don't allow the devil to walk over you in this year. He's going to try it. He's coming for you. Stand. Stand. And then fasten that belt of truth. Because God's truth is not the world's truth. You see, you can seek truth in many places, but when you put on God's belt around your middle, you know the truth. And what does the truth do? It sets us free. So if you are in bondage, if I take that, then what am I listening to? Not God's truth. Because that brings bondage. That brings fear. That brings a lot of stuff that is not part of His word. So put on that belt of truth. So what do you need to do to put on that belt? You need to study your Bible. We've got Bible school coming up. You know what's one of the things that when we talk about Bible school, you know, because this is a whole year that you have to be on a Monday. Are you crazy? I've got a lot to do. But you see, it's as you sit under the anointed teaching of God's word that the truth comes and it sets you free and it deals with stuff in your life and my life. Then I can walk in victory. I'll be honest with you, in my years, I'm convinced. If it was up to me, I would love to make Bible school compulsory. Because there's more counseling and deliverance happening in those 3 years than what I have time for. When God ministers to people under the teaching of His word, I don't have to do anything. People come to me and say, Kubus, you know, we were there and God did this and that. And then I'm like, oh, I'm free. I've been struggling this for years. And now I'm free. And I'm like, so put on the belt. Fasten that belt. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, your identity and position in Him. Because we are in right standing with Christ. Okay, put on the shoes to declare the gospel of peace. Put on the willingness to go. Okay? Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. If you do not take up the shield of faith, what happens with the flaming darts? They hit the target. No faith, you're exposed. Okay? Put on or take on the helmet of salvation. The freedom that you have received to walk in, the fact that God has saved you. Take up the sword of the Spirit, the truth of God, and just do it. Start wielding that thing. A sword is useless in its sheath. Do you know that? It becomes an ornament. Go look in many people's homes. They're hanging there. There's 2 swords in my house. They are useless because they're hanging on the wall, because if I give it to Caleb, we'll have chaos. I must say, he can wield that thing, all right? So, but then, the following, pray at all times, in the Spirit. It doesn't say pray sometimes. It says pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. This is our secret weapon, saints. This is where we deal with stuff. This is in this year as you unlock your future in Christ, where you do battle, where you hear God's voice, where you see things happen. And then the last part in that scripture is that keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert. Why? Because you have an enemy that wants to come steal, kill, and destroy, because he wants to take you out. So you have to be alert. That is why we have those around us, even in this walk that goes like, you know, can we pray for you for that or whatever? To you can go and say, listen, I see the devil coming, wanting to do this in my life. Let's pray. Keep alert. And then the next one is we need to walk by faith. That shield that I was talking about, you need to walk by faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things we haven't even seen yet. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith brings to part or brings alive the things that we are hoping for. Without faith, Yep, and that's the next one, Chris. Hebrews 11:6, because this is still true. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I just say, there's a word there that says diligently. It's there for a reason. It's not there by chance. It doesn't say for those who seek him. You know, because you can seek something once and then give up. But there's a diligently in there, which means that I continually seek him. You see, this is the thing about this relationship with God. There's this continual seeking of him, pursuing him, wanting to be with him, delighting myself even in him. We cannot walk into our future without unwavering, rock-solid faith in Jesus Christ. And the enemy would want to break that down. So if your faith took some strain in the last couple of years, fix it. Stand on the word. Put on the armor. Then the next one, to unlock your future, you need to position yourself correctly. John 15, verse 4 to 5 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, I've pruned a few trees there in my yard, and it consistently, when I prune them and I toss the branches there on the floor, they consistently die. I really don't know what's up with that. You know, because when I toss them, they're still green. There's life there. They should bear fruit. You know, maybe they should get up and just plant themselves and bear fruit further. You laugh, but sometimes I think we expect that to be able to do that, that we are not in the vine, we are apart from him, we're trying to make this life work. See, our future is secure in him. My future can be unlocked when I connect with him. You know that thing about encountering God? We want to encounter God, and as I encounter God, as I connect even with him, I will see stuff happening in my fruit that you haven't seen before in your life. Then the next one, and I'm almost done, it says, is this, know the promises. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, an amplified version says this, for as many as are the promises of God in Christ, they are all answered. Yes. So through him, we say amen to the glory of God. You know, say amen. Say yes to the promises of God in your life. You know, many of us sitting here have received prophetic words and scripture and stuff that God has shared with us that we've sort of just kind of forgotten about. Understand, not just those promises, but the promises of Scripture for you and me as a son and daughter of God. Understand and know those promises. So when the devil comes with his lies, you can say, that's not what the Word says. You know, even when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he took Scripture and he said, the Word says. I think we don't often enough say, but the Word says. But we probably can't. Because we don't know it. And here's the thing, in the thickness of a battle, when you're in it, you can't say, please hold, I want to Google. By that time, you are crying, you're falling apart because you don't know the Scripture. Let's not rely on Google. Let's rely on the Word. Who of you have got physical Bibles? Who of you write in them? Who of you highlight them? Scratch in them. Don't draw pictures in them. Unless it's the Lord showing you. But I want to encourage you. We've gotten so used to this. But I want to encourage you, get yourself, there's something different about reading the paper and then being able to make notes and scratching it and so on. Since Stephen Saddam Hussein, was it the notebook and the Bible? Okay, good stuff. But say amen. You know, in Christ, the promises is yes and amen. The devil cannot mess with those. So proclaim them, say yes to them. Joshua 1 verse 8 in the message says this. Now we all know Joshua 1 verse 8. No? Now the message says this. Do not get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure that you get to where you are going. You want to make sure where you are going? Don't get off track. Okay? And don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be out of your mind. Don't let the book of Revelation depart from your thinking. Ponder and meditate on it day and night. I've said previously, that is a long time. Not the 5 minutes that we allocate to it, but meditate in it for a long time. Making sure that you practice everything written in it. Now, faith without works is? So we need to practice. So you want to see your future unlocked? Practice what this book says to you. Then you will get to where you're going. Then you will succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Strength and courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. God, your God, is with you every step you take. But if you're going to depart from His truth, from His way of doing, from what He is instructing you to do, you will find it difficult to walk in the fullness of what He has in store for you. So stay in the book. Stay in Scripture. Encourage one another. You know, we can so easily forward a little thing that comes our way because it's a nice scripture, you know, or the Bible app has the scripture of the day and we send that everywhere. But what is God saying to you through that process of sitting at His feet in the Word? Can you forward that? And share with people what God is dealing with, revealing to you, encouraging you. In our small groups, as we encourage one another, because with what God is saying to us now, we will grow like it's not funny. I honestly, and this is just me, don't necessarily enjoy a forwarded thing. Rather, send me something that you've put together yourself and tell me this is what I see that blesses me. So... Just putting that out there. Then in conclusion, unlocking the future, know the one who holds the future. Rest, trust, rely on the one that has your future. Do not run ahead of him, but wait. Maybe this year is going to be a lot of waiting for you because you've been running too much and you have to wait on the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. Not your armor, not your thick skin, not your, you know, your mental ascent and all the abilities that you've learned. No, no, no. Put on his armor. Because it's through that that we can stand. And then walk by faith. Walk by faith. And not sight. Position yourself in him for growth. So that we can be that fruit. And know the promises that he has for us. And declare them. You know, I think a lot of us are going on a diet this year. You know, we want to get rid of some stuff. Shirts that are too tight and stuff. But can you put your spirit on a diet this year? A Bible diet. Can you take God's word more than ever before and meditate in it? Sit with it day and night. I'm not saying get the Bible at me. Get a Bible and study the thing. Get yourself a few concordances if you have to. But this, when you put in that effort, stuff happens. It takes time to do that. So set aside the time to spend the time with the one who made you, with the one who holds your future. I want to end with a scripture because my wife so lovingly shared it with me this morning. And I just want to share it with you. And if we look at, I'm now in the wrong. Let me just get there quickly. Romans 14. See, I'm on the phone. Any case, verse 23. And he's speaking in Romans 14 about the people quarreling about, you know, the food that they eat and shouldn't eat and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And he works his way through this now as Paul instructs them. And then he gets to this end. And he says, but the one who has misgivings feels miserable if he eats meat because he doubts and doesn't eat in faith. And then he ends with this. He says, for anything we do that doesn't spring from faith is by definition sin. And that hit me this morning. There's a lot I can do. But when I don't do it from a place of faith, I'm already on the back foot. I'm already missing what God has in store for me. We can get freaked out about a lot of stuff. But the moment we don't respond from a place of faith, we are in trouble. So here's the thing. This year, as you walk it out, as you unlock the secure future that God has for you, walk it out in faith. In the one who made you, in the one who's got his plans for you, that knows the plans he has for you. Because without a faith, it is impossible to please him. Without that abandoning of my own thinking and thoughts and stuff, I'm in trouble. I need to walk by faith. You know, and the incredible thing is that our God loves us so much that he wants to walk with us. He wants to journey with you every day to help you through everything.